Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. Yes, it's Thursday, and that means we're live again, Future CEOs. Very quickly, if you are a young, up-and-coming, dynamic individual who's ambitious, you want to occupy that corner office, if that's describing you, if I'm describing you here, then this conversation that we're about to have is very important for you and all the other conversations that we have, of course, here on cliffcentral.com. You can download them via podcast on cliffcentral.com. Are all for you. So here at Future CEOs, we're trying to help you fast-track your career and also grow your business. Today, we've got a particularly interesting conversation for you, especially if you are starting a business, running a business, and struggling a little bit with gaining traction in the market, maybe attracting the right individuals. Before we go there, of course, we must take a very, very quick moment to remember and to share a little bit of love with the family of Gugu Zulu. Unfortunately, just a few days ago, he passed as he was out trekking for Mandela. It's called Trek for Mandela, and he was busy summiting or attempting to summit Kilimanjaro, and unfortunately, he passed while he was doing that in the service of his fellow man, which is really a testament to the individual that he was. Lubi, of course, because she also represents the Mandela brand in various forums, she is very close with him, and so she's not going to be joining us today because she's attending to some of the matters that are going on behind the scenes there. But love to his family and all the best to all of them, and we hope that they will find peace in this somewhat unhappy moment. But anyway, let's move on. We can't dwell on that. Samantha Presbury, am I getting it right, Samantha?
You've got it.
Welcome to the show. You are the Johannesburg director for Epic
MSL Group.
MSL Group. I didn't want to hash that up. just very, very quickly, Epic, what do you guys do? I'm going to say Epic if that's okay.
That's absolutely fine.
Just tell us a little bit about what you guys do and then yourself, just some of your background as well, and then let's put this conversation together.
Perfect. Yes, as I said, Epic MSL Group, we are part of a larger public relations and communications group called the MSL Group, which is a global group. Primarily, we are in the business of public relations and ultimately communications. It's all about building and managing reputations for our clients. The company works across various clients from consumer through to B2B financial services. We have offices both in Cape Town and Johannesburg, two equally balanced offices, which is a really good factor in terms of working with your clients. And it's just helping our clients reach the audiences they need to reach and help them tell their story and their message.
That really goes to the heart of what we're speaking about today. I introduced it earlier, and I hope I introduced it accurately. This idea of being able to connect, to reach out. I mean, if you aren't getting traction, perhaps it's a communication issue, right?
Certainly, and more as things are developing, communication and sales need to be very closely aligned. Mm. So you can't be saying one thing on the sales and another thing on communication.
Sure.
The two really need to be working side by side to get maximum benefit.
And, okay, let's, before we go there, just tell us a little bit about your background, because you've got an interesting background. We spoke about it off air, and it all comes together in this really fascinating journey that you've had. It starts with economics, and then go on.
Yeah, so
brag a little.
Okay, I qualified in majored in economics and psychology at university.
Okay.
Afterwards, actually went into the family business a bit and learned a little bit about retail, which was quite fascinating. And then I thought, well, I actually want to go into marketing, and I did a marketing course through the IMM. And then sort of fell into PR, and here I am.
Here you are, but years later, obviously you love what you do.
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic.
Let's tell people why you love what you do, because, I mean, it's going to come through in this conversation, and it's probably going to come through even stronger because of your psychology background. When you want to try and communicate to a group of consumers, you know, develop a strategy for your communications, for your brand, you really are actually talking about connecting with an individual, aren't you?
Definitely. And the way we communicate now has changed significantly, and a lot has had to do with the digitization of communication and the way we actually consume the media that we are looking to sort of fulfill ourselves with. And so it's just how do you bring all that together and look at different avenues and different techniques of reaching people, but in a very credible and authentic way. No longer is it the case of just throwing stuff out there and hoping that you're going to get some traction. You really need to work hard at understanding your audience, really, and sort of think of when you're marketing or communicating to someone, you need to really think of that market as one person and not as this mass homogeneous group anymore.
So you can't just say, I'm marketing to students.
No, because there's within students their familiarities, but there are also a lot of differences.
Sure.
From very, you know, you can look across geographies, ages, etc. You know, it's not just one group.
So, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about, well, I'm hearing this and I'm saying, oh, this sounds right. It sounds good. But I'm a small business. I can't necessarily afford a retainer. Or paying a retainer to a large communications agency, where do I begin that will then get me into a position where I can then go to an Epic or so on and then begin to do some of this bigger stuff or perceived bigger stuff?
You know, and I think it's all about starting small, and you don't have to start big, and you just need to really, really understand who you need to talk to, and you need to understand what channels and to reach those your consumers and potential new business opportunities out there.
Okay.
And it's doing a little bit of research. You don't have to go to a big research house and do it. You can do informal research, talk to your colleagues, find out what the competitors are doing, understand the market trends out there, and then say, okay, in terms of this, where does my company fit in exactly? And how am I going to differentiate myself? And it doesn't have to be huge, big brand communication. You just need to make sure that you're connecting with that audience. And you can start looking from so much of our audience now is so digitally connected. It becomes, you know, easier and easier to reach people. But at the same time, you're also fighting a mass media clutter out there. So you've got to be very clear, very succinct about what you want to say.
You know, I find it fascinating that I think you've mentioned it, there's been an evolution of how we communicate. And a lot of these bigger brands where it was just, well, we're the big giant, we are going to tell you what's best for you, are now developing a different kind of strategy. You're seeing that with some of your clients.
Yes.
I think there was a little bit of communication between us before this conversation.
Yes.
And you highlighted the medical industry, which is, of course, a fascinating place because of sometimes the giants that live there.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, even within the medical industry, if you look at an example like Cipla, they've really gone out into the community to build their brand, and they've made the community and the initiatives that they are doing in the community in terms of providing access and education around healthcare, the hero, and them being the facilitator and provider of that. And that is how you one of the ways to start building that credibility, so that when someone is considering a medication and they see the name Cipla, they go, oh, I remember them. They helped here.
Mm.
So it becomes on a real, it becomes real. It's not just glossy advertising as such, though there's a role for that wherever, you know, that's needed. But in some cases, you really need to delve deep into your audience.
How do you go about transitioning your brand, though? So you have been perceived as perhaps a bit of a heartless kind of industry giant, but now you want to be doing these initiatives. How do you be seen, or how is it possible to convert to be seen as this is an authentic move versus this is just a different way of marketing our brand or their brand?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of tools you can use, and one of them is looking at credible third parties to tell your story as well. So
okay.
I'm not talking about celebrities only, but engaging with other people in the communities that your brand may respect. For example, It could be a doctor. It could be an educator, a professor, and dealing with them in that way and engaging with them to really to understand once again, what are they doing? Mm. What's happening? And to take a fairly humble approach if you're needing to do that, but still proud with your brand, but often let the issue lead and not the brand lead, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I guess I've seen some of this happening online. I mean, digital really is where a lot of people are driving a lot of their, let's call it budget, because, well, they feel like they can reach a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And we're seeing videos of someone who's affected with a certain kind of, the word that comes to mind is malady, if we're going to go into the medical side. And then pharmaceutical company, whatever it is, comes in and then they're able to solve that in this journey that they have. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's really meeting people at areas in their life that are real to them, that matter.
Okay.
So it's not just taking this blanket approach as we spoke about earlier. It's making sure that what you're saying is relevant. And it's going to add some form of value. It's either going to inform them. It's going to reward them. You know, it's going to educate them. It's got to add some value to that person that you're dealing with.
I mean, really what we're talking about is a certain psychological approach. Yes. So give us a little bit of your insight. You do have this background. You have been in this PR space, the communication space, for a long time. Just give us this, give us a sense of some brands, and we don't have to name who they are.
Yeah.
But some brands who are getting it wrong and what they are absolutely doing wrong, and then some that are doing it really right, and an example or two of what they are doing right, please.
Yeah, so I think where sometimes it goes wrong is particularly when these global brands want to enter South Africa.
Okay.
And they think that because they're the successful global brand, everyone's going to just jump on.
Mm.
And you know, I think us as South Africans, we've become a lot more discerning. It used to be the day when someone used to tell us, oh, we've got a senior VP coming out from the US. Everyone used to jump up and down. They don't do that anymore. And I mean, we've had some lot of big brands entering here, like Starbucks,
sure.
Krispy Kremes.
Sure.
You know, we've got Dunkin' Donuts entering the market soon. And they really, if they don't take a sort of locally relevant approach, I think they're going to battle to connect with a lot of us South Africans. We have our...
What is that? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, but what is a locally relevant approach? Describe that for us, please.
So, I mean, there's this word that goes around, it's kind of called glocal. So don't lose your global brand. But
sure.
At the same time, perhaps it's if it's a... develop a product that is relevant to the market that, you know, the local market would relate to.
Okay.
It could be a Amarula flavored coffee, or sure, do you know? I mean, I'm just making that up, but it's something that we can resonate with as South Africans.
By the way, I'm writing that down. It's fantastic.
And just understanding the South African lifestyle. You know, I think of and I will mention name is Santam's ad about the jacuzzi. What is it? The bakuzi.
Oh yes, yeah.
And you know that every time we see that ad, we have a smile.
Sure.
Because we go, oh, someone understands us.
Yes.
And I think that's what it's about. And don't come in. You know, you've had you know how the whole pay for TV market's changing with the likes of you've had Netflix do a global launch to everybody all at once.
Mm.
I don't know if that was necessarily the right approach, you know, but then you've also got Showmax coming out. Do you really understand our market and will go in locally? So I don't think that necessarily anymore, especially with these big, big brands, that we're all just going to go, oh, yes, I'll definitely buy into it. I think we've still got to earn my engagement and earn my trust in terms of what you're going to do in South Africa.
It's a very interesting situation because we are more and more, just as a community, or rather as I'm actually going to just call us consumers.
Yeah.
We're globally connected.
Definitely.
Because of this digital thing. But yet there are differences, sometimes subtle, sometimes
yes.
A lot more in your face. How do I justify the additional spend? I mean, I hate that it comes down maybe to numbers, but how do I justify it when I can maybe just lean on a brand or this idea that I'm going to be influencing everyone who is already globally influenced anyway?
Well, I mean, I think that you've got to justify it, because you really, it all comes down to emotionally connecting with those consumers who are going to consume your brand. And just by taking that blanket approach is not going to work. You've got to speak to them and relevantly to them. And I think without that, you know, you would be surprised that other brands will take your space because they're doing it. Because if you're not doing it, someone else is.
Mm.
And you've got to look at the various channels in terms of how you reach those people. It's not only about advertising. It's about that earned presence, the credibility of speaking on authority because you deserve the right to speak, because it was interesting enough. How do you promote your own brand and drive people to store, to site, to whatever? What are you doing out there to do that? You know, the whole story about owned media, you know, and then how do people share that media? It's got to tickle something in them to want to share something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, coming out with one message for everybody is generally not going to work.
I really like the phrase that you used there, which was you earn the right, or I'm going to paraphrase here, but you earn the right to be in that space with some of these big brands, because you're relevant,
yes,
rather than because you have a large budget or you have a history or any of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's how relevant you are versus how big you are.
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean, the typical example in one of South Africa's success stories is Nando's. I mean, half of those ads, I know they don't always create themselves.
Sure.
But they've always been relevant. And I think that's what, you know, besides a good product, et cetera, and service, that's what's kept their brand up there when, you know, you've got the KFCs, McDonald's, the Burger Kings coming in and all, everybody competing in what's become quite a crowded market. You know, they've managed to keep that going.
You know what's so interesting about this is that, I don't know how long ago it was, it feels like about 7 years ago, I was in a very small audience where one of the Nando's founders was speaking, and he was just sharing about how they had now tried to go over into the US market, just let's call it a pilot, and they were really, really struggling. But it's perhaps because they were so good at marketing locally.
Yeah, and I mean, a market like the States is just huge.
Of course.
I mean, from Texas to California, you're dealing with different people and in a very different way.
Very good point, yeah.
You know, we almost won state.
That's very true.
In some funny way, yeah.
That of course raises then the interesting question of how and we shouldn't compare ourselves to America necessarily, but there are lessons to be learned there. How do they do it there? They have an HQ in one state, and yet they're able to sell all over the place. Is it because they split it up? It's because they're very specific? What do you think it is?
I really think that those big brands, A, they've got the budget to be able to do it, which helps a lot.
Sure.
And they spend the time in market, understanding that market. I mean, Coca-Cola is a perfect example.
No.
It's one of the biggest brands. It is probably the biggest brand in the world, and don't know where it's sitting on the rankings.
No one's confused about who we're speaking about here.
You know, but they've managed to have that sort of feeling of happy going across and sharing moments, et cetera, but they have localized it.
Mm.
And I think that must be the success to a successfully global brand, you know, that any country in the world, you know, Apple, Microsoft, they might not always have the best products out there. You know, there might be other better products, but the fact is they connect so well with their audiences that carries them through.
And who doesn't want to be happy in this instance? So they've actually just tapped into something that every single one, or I mean, the most people on earth want to just be happy. And so they've done it. And they've connected, as you've said, emotionally. There is this element of connection no matter where you go. Fantastic.
Yeah, and they've done it across all different types of, they haven't just relied on the typical TV ad or radio ad. They've gone into the community with some amazing activations. You know, remember the named can of Coke.
Yes, yes.
And then there was that whole story about, you know, connecting people through their machines. You know, just really interesting. And that kind of stuff goes viral. Even if it's done in Europe, locally we relate to it because we see how those people have connected and it appeals.
So I want us to go back and imagine that you are now the MD or the founder of a small business, and you are going to now, at the beginning phases of deciding to brand your business in a certain kind of way, sell it in a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
What are the two or three questions that you need to ask yourself right now?
I mean, I don't mean to harness. Do I really understand my market?
Okay, so who am I selling to?
Who am I? It's so critical, and it's more and more critical in this market where things are so fragmented. You know, what are the trends, the market trends out there? What's happening beyond just my company,
okay,
my industry? Because they're going to impact on everything that we do.
How do we do that, though? So some people would say, well, I don't have access to this data. What do we do?
No, there is so much online. Okay. There is an amazing – you can put a question on Twitter. You can run a – there's so many free surveys that you can run yourself just to start giving yourself an idea. And then look at that point of where you can connect with that audience. What is your point of differentiation? And it takes time, and sometimes it might not be it's not necessarily your product features. It's the way you do it. It's how you do it, exactly. You know, and target in on that, and then look at what resources you've got available. And to be honest, first step, not necessarily advertising. It's probably public relations. Mm. And as a small industry, look at the media that your audience is consuming and get hold of them. You know, speak to directly to those publications yourself. But then it is going to get to a point where you may need some assistance because it's getting bigger and bigger.
Sure.
You know, educate yourself on how Twitter works. Educate yourself on how Facebook works. Facebook is an amazing platform for B2B, where you would be surprised. I mean, Epic, we did a survey on the use of Facebook for B2B, and it outstripped many other social platforms.
So interesting.
Don't assume anything, you know, and try things out. It might not work, and you can move on to something else.
You've just raised an interesting point. How many of your clients have you seen coming in and they need your assistance because they've assumed? How many of us assume? I think too many, right?
There's a heck of a lot of assumption, and don't always go with gut feel. Test your gut feel against something else.
I like that.
Against the market, against that, because you could be wrong.
Certainly in a space that's moving so quickly and so rapidly and changing and evolving on an ongoing basis,
yes,
you have to be testing. I think that's really the key here, isn't it?
Definitely. And look at different ways of communicating nowadays. make sure that you know, you don't have to go and do a high-quality video. You know, news coverage is generally quite rough. Mm. You know, think about how you use that iPhone in your hand or Samsung in your hand every day. How are you going to use that to help advance your company? And when necessary, seek professional advice. Don't think that you know it all. You know, your business might be selling car parts, but don't be afraid to use strategic advice wherever you can.
A final question, because we've actually almost just run out of time. Can you believe it's moved so quickly?
Yeah.
This idea that we can go online and do these pick up blanket strategies, or just and I'm not asking the question the way that I want to ask it, because it's going to come back to this idea of connecting with individuals. Well, maybe we can just ask this. We are running out of time. A final word from your side, just to round this conversation up. I think I have the line, which is brands that emotionally connect win. So that's my line. What's
Definitely.
Your line?
Well, you just stole mine, actually. Emotionally connect, win. And I think it's just to go back is don't assume anything. Don't assume anything. Go out there and try. Some things don't work, but give it a go. If you don't go out there and talk, no one's going to hear you anyway.
Fantastic. Samantha Presbury, Director of Epic Epic MSL Group. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And all the best for this coming week.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much for having me in.
All right. After the break, we are going to be talking to a startup, a very interesting startup. And they've got a little bit of a play on their name. We'll chat to them right after this break.
This is CliffCentral.com.